Punks vs. Zombies by John Cronshaw, Episode 24, Chapter 50. Layla sat in the passenger seat, her body tense, gaze fixed on some point far in the distance. She hadn't spoken for over an hour. Tommy almost preferred her silence to the alternative, questions he didn't want to answer, or conversations he wasn't ready to have. The radio crackled. "How you holding up, T?" Nix asked. Tommy grabbed the radio. "I'm fine, just focused on getting us out of these damn mountains." "No doubt, man. This road is insane. Feel like we're one wrong turn from plunging off a freaking cliff. Just take it real slow around the bends. I'll let you know if I see trouble ahead." 10-4, boss man. Tommy cleared his throat. "How's Zero holding up?"
"I'm good," Zero said. "I'll be right in a day or two."
"Good to hear. And how about you, Rox? You all right?" A burst of static. "She's pretty shaken up about Spike still," Nick said. "Been quiet since we got back on the road. Can't say I blame her. They were tight." Tommy chewed his lip, unsure how to respond. "Yeah, yeah, they were..." He trailed off, the words dying in his throat. "It's messed up, dude," Jimbo said from the back seat. "One minute we're all fine. The next..." He sighed. "Never know which of us will be next to go. This whole thing sucks." Tommy's chest clenched. "No one else is dying on my watch. We'll get through this." Tommy caught Layla looking at him and frowned.
"What?"
She held his gaze a moment before looking away. "Nothing. Just glad we have you leading the way is all." Tommy swallowed hard and turned his attention back to the road. Compliments concern. It was all too much right now. The layers of guilt and doubt weighed so heavy that even her kindness felt smothering. His grip on the wheel tightened as he maneuvered a hairpin turn, tires spitting up gravel. In the side mirror, he could see the Minx van crawling along behind at a cautious distance. They drove on in silence for some time, the mountains looming around them. The road's narrow curves demanding Tommy's full concentration. His shoulders ached from tension, and his eyes strained to cut through the mist gathering between the peaks. Layla shifted in her seat. "Do you want me to take over driving for a bit?"
"I'm good."
"You sure?"
"I said I'm fine."
Layla shrugged and turned to gaze out the window once more.
"So what's the plan when we get out of these mountains?" Mickey asked. "Figured we'd head for Denver, scavenge for more supplies."
"Denver, huh? Reckon that's our best bet to find meds."
"Yeah, we'll look for methadone for you."
"Appreciate it, man. I'm down to just a few doses left."
"I know, we'll find more, I promise."
Even as Tommy said the words, he wasn't sure he could keep that promise. Mickey needed the methadone to keep his old heroin cravings at bay. "I can't slip back to what I was. You gotta help make sure I stay clean."
"I will, I swear it."
Tommy raked a hand through his hair. The mountains pressed closer, suffocating. So many lives depending on him. So many ways to fail. Layla pointed ahead.
"Tommy, watch out."
A zombie staggered into the road. Tires screeched as he yanked the wheel hard, swerving around the creature. Their back end slid on the icy asphalt, hurtling toward the sheer drop just feet away.
"Hold on."
Tommy fought for control, turning into the skid. The van careened wildly, all momentum carrying them nearer the cliff's edge. With a final wrench of the wheel, Tommy brought them skidding to a stop sideways across the road, rear bumper hanging out over empty space. The van teetered, metal groaning. Heart hammering against his ribs, Tommy threw it into park.
"Everyone okay?"
Layla peeled her fingers from the dashboard.
"Yeah, I'm good."
"Holy crap, that was close." Nix's shaky voice came through the radio's static.
"You guys all right?"
Tommy keyed back.
"We're okay, just a little shaken up. Zombie in the road, but I got us stopped in time."
He twisted to peer out the window at the precipice yawning behind them.
"Barely."
"No kidding, my butt's still clenched from watching you almost drive off that damn cliff." Nix blew out a breath across the line. "Got to be more of those dead freaks lurking around here. We better move before they swarm us."
"You got that right."
Tommy shifted back into drive and eased them forward at a crawl, giving the cliff's edge a wide berth. Adrenaline still surged through his veins. As the rocky peaks closed in around them once more, Tommy clenched his jaw. Tommy squinted through the mist, scanning the craggy mountain horizon. In the distance, beyond a thick copse of evergreens, he could just make out what looked like buildings tucked against the towering rock face. Even from here, he could see the high wooden palisade surrounding the structures. Tommy grabbed the radio.
You guys seeing what I'm seeing up ahead? Looks like some kind of settlement, Nick said. See the walls and roofs poking up past those trees? Yeah, I see it. What do you think? Should we check it out? Hell yeah, we should. If they're friendly, maybe we can resupply, grab a hot meal and some real beds to sleep in. And why should we trust them? Zero cut in. For all we know, they'll rob us the second we step through those gates. Maybe, Tommy said. But they might also give us a hot meal and a chance to rest up somewhere secure. Even a hot shower. It's got to be better than spending another night out in the cold, right? I think we should do it, T, Nick said. Scope it out at least. We're exhausted. Half our crew is gone. If we can hole up somewhere safe for a night, get our strength back, I say it's worth the risk. Tommy exchanged a glance with Layla, who nodded. All right, we'll check this place out. Stay close behind me. You got it, boss man. Here's hoping this haven isn't a trap. Haven? Yeah, there's a big hand-painted sign over there that says Haven. Looks like this place has power too. Lights on behind the walls. As they rumbled closer, Tommy could now make out the sign himself. Letters daubed in bold black paint over the fortress-like entrance. They passed the last stretch of forest and pulled up before the imposing gates. Tommy cut the engine and stepped out, hands raised. Roxy and Nix followed suit, forming up beside him. Hello? Tommy called out. We're just travelers looking for shelter and safety. We come in peace. Nick sniggered. You sound like you're off Star Trek. Take me to your leader. Tommy grinned and shook his head. For several heartbeats, only silence answered. Tommy exchanged tense looks with the others. A figure stepped out, face obscured by a riot helmet. The stranger had an assault rifle slung casually over one shoulder. What do you want? The guard's voice was muffled by his face shield. Tommy cleared his throat. Like I said, we're peaceful folks just hoping for a place to rest up a bit, maybe resupply if you're willing to trade. We can work too, help out however you need. You clean? Tommy nodded. No bites, scratches? No. Any skin tone changes? Honestly, we're all good. You got weapons? Some. They stay in the vehicles. If I see any of you armed, even with a pocket knife. He patted his rifle. Tommy opened his palms. We're not looking for trouble. Which way you headed? East. Where from? We set off from Berkeley, headed to Philly. The guard snorted a laugh. You expect me to believe that? It's true, Nick said. We were on tour when everything went down. The guard nodded. What are you, some rock band or something? Yeah, Tommy said, just trying to get back to my family. The guard considered them for a moment, then beckoned them forward. Come on in, but try anything suspect and you won't make it 2 feet inside these gates. Tommy raised his palms again. You have my word. No trouble from us. He gestured for the others to follow. The guard led Tommy and the others through the compound, weaving between buildings and parked vehicles. People stopped to stare as they passed, whispering to each other. Tommy kept his hands visible, careful not to make any sudden moves. So what's your deal here? Seems like you've got a nice setup. The guard grunted. We were here before the uprising. We grow our own food, got some solar panels hooked up for power, even our own well. Place used to be a summer camp before we moved in. But the lady really whipped us into shape, got us organized. She knew something like this was coming. The lady? You'll meet her soon enough. Her name's Eleanor. She's the reason any of us are still breathing. This place would have torn itself apart if not for her. Tommy raised his eyebrows. She's in charge around here then. You could say that, but it's more than that, the guard hesitated. All I know is we were lucky we found her. He led them to a small chapel nestled against the rear palisade. Wait here while I let Eleanor know you've arrived. The guard disappeared inside while Tommy and the others milled about. From within came the murmur of voices and soft music. After a few minutes, the guard returned and ushered them inside. Tommy's eyes adjusted to the dim interior, lit only by candles. At the front of the chapel, a woman sat upon a carved wooden throne. Her long black hair fell around her in soft waves. She watched them enter with blue eyes that seemed to see directly into Tommy's soul. People sat cross-legged around her. The music swelled, played on stringed instruments by two women in white robes. The woman who could only be Eleanor smiled. Welcome, travelers. Please come in. Her voice was melodic and commanding. My name is Eleanor, and your name? Tommy met the woman's intense gaze. I'm Tommy. We're grateful for any shelter you can offer. And shelter we shall provide. Eleanor studied each of them in turn. You all look very weary. Our community is a place of healing, safety, and purpose. Rest here as long as you need. Tommy shifted his weight. We appreciate that, your holiness. Eleanor laughed. I'm no holy woman, just someone who wants to spread a little light in this dark world. Now come, let's get you settled. She led them from the chapel to a long bunkhouse and gestured to the rows of cots within. Please rest and recover your strength. Jared here will explain the community rules and work schedules. Her intense blue gaze lingered on Zero. For you, only rest. The soul's wounds often take longest to heal. Zero flushed and managed a mumbled thanks. With a final smile, Eleanor glided away, trailed by two robed assistants. The guard, Jared, cleared his throat. All right, here's how things work around here. Mealtimes are breakfast after sunrise, lunch at noon, dinner just before sundown. No exceptions. He ticked the rules off on his fingers. Everyone contributes through work unless injured. We rotate jobs daily, and no going outside the walls unless cleared by myself or Eleanor. He eyed Tommy. Got all that? Yeah, seems straightforward enough. We're happy to pitch in however you need. Jared nodded, seeming satisfied for now. I'll come get you for your work assignment. Until then, make yourselves at home. After he left, Zero turned to the group. We can't stay here. Did you see how those people were looking at that Eleanor lady? Like she's some kind of savior? It's a cult, I'm telling you. Roxy rolled her eyes. Oh, hush up with your paranoia. These people helped us out. Gave us a safe place to crash. Not everything is a damn conspiracy. It's just a meditation retreat, Nick said. I went to one of these after our second album. Needed the headspace. I think we bounce after one night here, though, Mickey said. This place seems weird. Layla nodded. It does have kind of a strange vibe, but I'm exhausted, and right now I'm just grateful for a real bed. Me too. I could sleep for a year in an actual bed instead of the van floor, Jimbo said. Zero looked to Tommy. Come on, you can't tell me you don't find this place creepy as hell. Tommy met Zero's gaze. I think we should play it cool for now. Help out, get a good night's rest, then head out first thing in the morning. It's just one night. Zero frowned. I don't know, Tommy boy, I've got a bad feeling. Okay, look, let's take a quick vote. Tommy surveyed the group. All in favor of staying the night? Every hand went up except for Zero's. Tommy clapped a hand on his good shoulder. It'll be okay. We'll stay sharp. But this is an opportunity we can't easily pass up. Zero sighed. Okay, we do it your way. But tomorrow we're gone whether these people like it or not. Chapter 51. After some time, Jared returned to the bunkhouse and clapped his hands. All right, folks. Time for work assignments. We've got a long list of tasks that need doing before sundown. He peered at his clipboard, then pointed to Tommy and Roxy. You two go with Harvey to the Eastwood lot. We need more firewood chopped before dark. Tommy and Roxy followed the robed man to a fenced-off section of the woods. Trees had already been felled here and cut into chopping blocks. Tommy hefted one of the axes, testing its weight. The tool felt clumsy and unfamiliar in his hands, its weight different to his baseball bat. He eyed the chopping block, a thick cut of oak at least 2 feet across. Gripping the axe in both hands, he took a swing. The blade glanced off the wood with a hollow thunk. Harvey shook his head. You must put some force behind it, friend. Swing from high up. Use the weight of the axe head, like this. He stepped up to a block, hoisted his axe overhead, then brought it down. The log split cleanly down the middle. Tommy tried again, raising the axe higher before swinging down. This time it bit deeper, but became lodged in the wood, refusing to split all the way through. Harvey helped him tug it free. Better, but you must follow through. One smooth motion, don't stop halfway. Tommy repositioned himself, focusing on the block. He visualized the swing, picturing the axe slicing all the way through. With a grunt of effort, he swung with his full strength. The metal flashed in the late afternoon sun, splitting the log in two. Harvey nodded. Now you're getting it. Keep practicing just like that. As Tommy worked on perfecting his swing, Roxy was already making quick progress through her pile of blocks. She moved with easy confidence, her strikes coming in rapid succession. Tommy couldn't help but pause to watch her. She made it look effortless. Noticing him staring, Roxy flashed a grin. What, never used an axe before? Tommy gave a chuckle. Not really something that comes up much in the city. Here, hold it like this. Roxy adjusted his grip. You'll get more power if you choke up a bit. Her hands were rough but warm as they positioned his on the handle. Their faces were only inches apart. Clearing his throat, Tommy took a step back and hoisted the axe again. As sunset approached, he and Roxy worked up a good sweat. They made sporadic small talk about nothing consequential. The weather, the compound, anything to fill the uncomfortable silences. Finally, Roxy planted her axe in a stump and wiped her brow. So are we going to talk about it or just keep avoiding the elephant in the room? Tommy froze, his axe poised above a chopping block. Talk about what? Don't play dumb, you know what? Roxy folded her arms. That kiss, back on the mountain. He turned back to the block of wood and split it with more force than necessary. Nothing to talk about. We were both emotional after Spike. Wasn't thinking straight. Roxy sighed. Tommy, I like you, and not just as a friend. She met his eyes. I know the timing was crazy. Spike had just died. We both had adrenaline pumping. But I wanted to kiss you. I don't regret it. Tommy searched for the words, his throat tightening. Rox, I've got Neve, Sean. I'm easy with that. But I'm not, and with everything going on, you don't have to explain. Roxy gave a sad smile. I'm not asking for anything from you, and I'm sorry if I made things awkward. She scuffed her boot in the dirt. It's just hard, you know. Everything that's happened since Berkeley, watching my friends die one by one. Her voice caught. You've been one of the only rocks I have left, and maybe I got overwhelmed. Tommy's shoulders slumped and he turned to her. You have nothing to apologize for. We're all handling this thing in our own messed up way. He hesitated. I care about you, Rox, but I don't know if I can be what you need. I just need a friend, Tommy. He smiled and rubbed the back of his neck. Friends, then. Roxy blinked rapidly before meeting his gaze again. And hey, if I can't lean on you, who can I lean on? She attempted a laugh, but it came out hollow. After a moment, she stepped forward and pulled Tommy into a hug. I'm glad we can still be friends. Her voice was muffled against his shoulder. I don't want it to be weird between us. You're one of the few good things left. Tommy hugged her back, inhaling the scent of her hair mixed with wood smoke. For a long moment, they stood there, taking comfort in each other. The setting sun cast the woods in a red-gold glow. When they finally pulled apart, Tommy met her eyes. We'll get each other through this, I promise. Roxy managed a small smile. Then her eyes dipped briefly to Tommy's mouth before she glanced away. Tommy's pulse quickened. A bell rang out across the compound, signaling the end of the workday. Tommy exhaled, grateful for the interruption. Guess that's quitting time. Roxy nodded. Let's head back and see how the others fared. They gathered the chopped wood and tools to return to camp. As they walked back, Tommy replayed the day's events in his mind. He had hoped things with Roxy could go back to normal, but now a new tension thrummed between them. He could not betray his family. Not again. To be continued. Please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. To find out more about John Cronshaw and his work, visit johncronshaw.com. Punks vs. Zombies is copyright John Cronshaw and Wyvern Books Limited. All rights reserved. This is a work of fiction. People, businesses, and places are entirely fictional or used in a fictional way.